Bom dia, Kiki.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Raptors Podcast, brought to you by tipofthetower.com. Joining me, as always, is DeMar Grant. DeMar, little do people know, this is probably our sixth attempt to try and record this one, and we have talked about the Cavs and Warriors on three separate occasions. So I'm going to open this with how we've been saying every time. They're just better than us. They're just better than us. That's all I got, man.
It hurt. You make it sound so doom and gloom, man. There's still a fighting chance, puncher's chance, at least.
Yeah, all joking aside, I mean, the Cavs was a very winnable game. The Warriors game, not so much. They didn't shoot very well, which I feel like that's been the narrative all season. They just can't shoot the three consistently.
And yeah, well, Patrick Patterson is like, you know, he's a mainstay in the lineup. He has the third most minutes on the team, and he's shooting 23% from range.
What's even worse than that, though, is he has no confidence in the shot.
Yeah, man.
Swinging the ball in open looks. That's not very P-Pat-like.
Yeah, he'll get, like, he has, like, he had four attempts last game where he would get the ball, and the first time he would shoot it, and he's like, he's open, he would shoot it. Second time he's open, and he would shoot it, and then, like, the third time, since he missed the first two, he'll, like, swing the ball, and then, you know, since he's open, he's passing it to somebody that's obviously not open, and it'll bungle the entire possession, and then we have, like, isolation stuff going on instead of an open three.
It's a big problem, and I don't know how the Raptors are going to fix it, because who else do you play?
I know, I've been asking this question for a little bit now, because Patrick, you know, it kind of pains me to say, because, like, Patrick Patterson is one of my favorite players, but I'm like, you know, it feels like they should be going away from him, but they don't really have an alternative. Can you think of any alternatives on the roster right now?
On this roster? I mean, what do you play, more Siakam? That's not really an alternative, because the spacing will get messed up, right?
I mean, if you're, you know, if they're playing against the Cavs.
Hold on, I got one. Because we saw it in the spurts last night. Mm-hmm. Damari at the four, like super small. I mean, that's completely the opposite of what Casey does, but maybe that's the only option they could do that's actually a genuine solution.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then you could, well, depending on the lineup. So, like, when they were playing the Cavs, especially when the Cavs go to that super small where it's like LeBron and Richard Jefferson, or LeBron and Channing Frye's the center, then you could play like Carroll at the four, and then play like Siakam at the five, less JV, even though it's like, you know, it seems like it's the antithesis of like the entire Raptors fan base. It's like, why would we ever play less JV?
Man, did you go on Raptors Tweet Zone at all during the games?
I saw it afterwards, man. You told me about it, so I went back to look at it.
Oh yeah, blazing hot takes. Fire Casey, more JV. I don't know what the hell everybody's doing. This team's just lost. More JV.
Yeah,
I was laughing.
Yeah, last game, especially against the Warriors, JV is like, he's basically designed to feast on that Warriors team. He's an amazing rebounder, and he's good around in the paint. So, of course, he's going to be like 6 of 6. But then, you know, when you're 6 of 6 and you're a fan, you're just like, how does he only get 6 shots?
You know, he only gets 6 shots because he's not on the floor, right? He's stapled to the bench.
When you ask for more minutes for JV versus the Warriors, you kind of have to realize that if you play him more, you're jeopardizing the defense. That is already kind of suspect on this team.
Okay, well, we saw what happened like late in the fourth quarter when they played the Cavs, when they basically, you know, baited JV into every high pick-and-roll situation. Specifically, that was Channing Frye and LeBron James. High PNR, and they forced him to make a choice, and they burned him every time. So I think Casey saw that and didn't want to go back to that again with Warriors. Fair to say?
Yeah, it's just realistically, it's so hard to see JV guarding any at the beginning of the game. Sure, he could be playing because most teams play a traditional center, but at the end of the game, the fourth quarter where everybody's playing like Draymond Green or Channing Frye, like to close out the game, he just can't. There's nobody for him to defend. You know, nobody's the same foot speed or like same play style as him, so he can't defend anyone. You got to make the switch.
Considering the Raptors are one of the slowest paced teams in all the league, I mean, do you use him in the first and second quarter, like against those teams, and that's it?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, especially just against the Warriors, the best way to to beat the Warriors is actually to slow the game down, which they were kind of doing. If they weren't generating turnovers, they were slowing it down. And, you know, the post is like the slowest play in basketball, right? The post up is just, I'm going to watch the guy post up for like 5 seconds, see if he puts in a jump hook. And if the jump hook misses, you know, it's so close to the rim that it generates a rebound right around the rim. So the team probably doesn't even get to run off of it.
Well, I think when you look at what the Raptors are trying to combat that with was the Warriors basically said, we're going to play small, deal with it. And they tried to basically exploit JV. So that's where I think the whole like trying to play slow at that pace, it sounds great in theory, but in practice it just wasn't working.
Yeah, don't you think it's weird that they play at such a slow pace?
The Raptors, yeah, I find it's really weird because they have so many athletes on this team.
Yeah, it's like 22nd of 30. So it's like one of the slowest teams in the league.
And those numbers are only up because they played so fast against the Cavs and Warriors. Like prior to those games, I think they were 26th.
Yeah, they were 26 before the Warriors game. They were 26th, and they came up. I don't know, man, because they play with Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Terrence Ross, Norman Powell. You know, those are fast players. Pascal Siakam, those are all fast guys, and for some reason, like, they play at one of the league's slowest paces. And they like to trot the ball up. I have a feeling that's the problem.
Why is that a problem?
Because when you have like athletic players, you know, you want to play fast so you can exploit the athleticism. Just like if you have like a really like big player, you like to use the post. I don't know. It just feels like it would be an easier way to generate points, so you don't have to rely on DeMar DeRozan so much. I know, even though he's shooting like 30, he's scoring 33 points a game and he shoots like 50% from mid-range, but he can get a few more points around the rim. Norman Powell would appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I think DeMar was trying to do that with, 17 free throw attempts against the Warriors? That was a lot.
The fastest way to play the game is through free throws.
Yeah, apparently. You know what, here. Why don't we talk about what we learned watching these two games with the Raptors? Because I feel like we could break both these games down again, mm-hmm. but I don't know how much we'd really get out of that. So what did you learn watching these two games?
I learned that Damari Carroll probably needs to be resting pretty much every other game, which is kind of bad because it makes him like not worth his contract anymore. But he can't, like, it feels like he can't be playing back-to-backs, or he can't play like extended periods of time just because his ability to like cover certain people, it just gets diminished when he's playing for a long period of time or a certain consecutive amount of days. That knee just starts to act up, and I feel like it's starting to get like a chronic injury.
What about maybe using him in a reserve role? And I don't mean like as like a 13th or 14th man, but what about in a second unit?
That's interesting. I mean,
I think he could be effective. Like, he could use a matchup specialist kind of guy.
That's true. You know, to just like throw him on, like if you need him to guard a specific player, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, I think that could work for the regular season. Then come playoff time, you know, you got to use him full max out. But during the regular season, if they're going to monitor him and manage him, I think that might be a role they should consider.
Don't you think they should just rest him until he's like 100%, if that is possible for him to get 100%? Well,
he himself said that, you know, he's got to play to get back up to speed. That's like counterintuitive in a sense because like the more you play, your body's going to wear down, higher risk of injury, all that stuff. But he said the more he plays, the better he feels.
Okay, that sounds...
I know that sounds the complete opposite. That's what he said at his camp in the summer.
Right.
So I think that was more of like him saying that, you know, at that point in time he was going through rehab. Well, he was slowly starting to work his way up.
Okay.
And he said that he needed to play in order to feel better. I know it sounds confusing, but that's what he was saying. I was kind of there like, you know what, I guess that makes sense. He needs to get back into game shape.
Okay, that's okay.
His whole thing was that you can't emulate playing in the game. You have to actually be in it.
Right, okay. I can, you know, him off the bench isn't a terrible idea. It's just, you know, because the Lowry plus the bench lineup is like one of the best lineups in the league, let alone just the team. You know, when you're playing Carroll, when you're taking a starter out of the starting lineup and putting him into that bench lineup, I feel like it's going to kind of hinder that bench lineup. I don't know if he's... Is he better than Norman Powell at this point? Because that's pretty much who's going to get subbed into the starting lineup if he became a bench reserve.
I don't think it's fair to ask either of us that because we're both biased. We both think Wormpel is significantly better at this point in time. Like, Damari is not what he used to be.
Right, so like, if you're playing Norman Powell in the starting lineup, you know, that bench lineup is going to suffer. I don't know. It becomes like a hard, like, something that Coach Casey has to deal with. I know we're trying to deal with it right now, but yeah,
well,
that's starting lineup.
That, though, Well, they talked about managing Lowry's minutes more too, right? That was something they said they want to do this year. So maybe that Lowry in the reserves will turn into maybe DeMar and Valanciunas playing with the reserves.
Okay. I mean, like, I feel like that Lowry thing. More? I feel like that Lowry thing is not happening right now.
I don't think so either. I know Lowry in the reserves is super effective. Lowry with just about anybody on the Raptors is really, really effective. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if they're serious about managing his minutes like they said they were last year, well, entering the season, sorry, they're going to have to do some things differently. That might be one of them, is playing more DeMar DeRozan with the reserves.
And more Corey Joseph. More Norman Powell, too. Norman Powell is good. I wouldn't say he's a primary ball handler, but it's definitely like a secondary thing. I can see him like exploiting people in transition. Again, if they actually played quickly, then they would be able to use him more frequently.
Well, like you were saying before, though, Corey Joseph is kind of the perfect guy to play that slow, methodical half-court pace they like to play.
He's fast, too.
I know he's fast, but he can also play a half-court set really, really well.
Exactly, but like, why aren't they now I'm just like, now that we're digging in like deep on it, I'm just like, why don't they play fast? What is the detriment to them playing fast right now? I can't even think of it.
I think it's their reluctancy to play small too, though, because if you put Siakam at the 5 and then a Carroll or Patterson at the 4, and you just play like truly small, and they played fast and small, mm-hmm. this team could be super efficient scoring the basketball.
And they're already like the third best offense in the league right now.
Yeah, and I think that like us talking about how this offense can become more efficient or this team as a whole. Is more of that you look at the Warriors and you look at the Cavs and you go, okay, those are by far the two best teams, and the Raptors aren't close. Like, they're close, but they're not close enough that they could beat them in a 7-game series. I don't know anybody that could tell me they feel good about the Raptors being either of those teams 4 times in a 7-game series. So I don't want people to feel like, you know, like we're shitting on the Raptors here, that they're not good enough. They're a great team, but now we don't expect them to, you know, make the playoff, or we don't consider making the playoffs like a good thing anymore. That's an expectation. 50 right. games, playoffs, all that stuff is an expectation now. Now, what's the next step? Winning the whole damn thing. So I think we got to start comparing them and talking to them in that context.
Right. And, you know, them being third best in like offensive rating, they're behind like the Cavs, Warriors. And the Warriors, you know, they're an offensive team now. Like, they used to be, they were actually secretly a defensive team for the past couple of years. And the Cavs have always been an offensive team. And that's, like, the problem with when the Raptors play the Cavs or the Warriors is, like, they don't have enough juice. So we're trying to squeeze as much juice out of the orange right now. So we're trying to figure out, you know, can they play faster and generate more points? If they play smaller, they generate more points. We're trying to figure out, like, any sort of way so that they can catch up to the Kevin Durants and LeBron Jameses of the world by playing by committee. You know, almost like the Hawks. Remember when the Hawks were, like, a by-the-committee offensive team? Eventually, yep. like that got hurt in the playoffs because, you know, Kyle Korver kind of gets locked down. But the Raptors have more centralized talent, but there are, like, outside factors that can, like, be bolstered by just playing faster. And I feel like when they play slow, it hinders Siakam, it hinders Powell. I mean, it's a benefit to JV, but they don't really use JV that much on offense. So by playing slowly, is that really helping that much of the team versus playing quickly?
I'll be honest, if they're going to continue to play slow, they got to whip the ball around. They got to move the ball. We saw against the Warriors, the ball doesn't move much, and they just run it dead sets.
Yeah, and it hurts because then you're playing, you know, one-on-ones, and the Warriors have good one-on-one defenders, like Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is going to be on DeRozan, and then it'll be like Kevin Durant could get switched onto him, or you have Iguodala getting switched onto them, or like Sean Livingston. Like, there's just there's like no weakness other than Steph Curry because he could just shoot over him, but there's no weakness in that Warriors lineup. And then for the Cavs, like, if they put LeBron on DeMar DeRozan, then it's trouble.
It's a wrap.
Yeah, it's trouble.
Okay, so, what else did we learn during these two games?
The defense is not that good. Bismack Biyombo is,
What are you talking about? We got Bebe.
We do have Bebe, but, you know, Bebe's gonna have to make some decisions, and I'm not a fan of his decision making.
Like you said, man, you gotta simplify the game for him.
Yeah, man, catch lobs, block shots, alley-oops, all that good stuff, but when it's like, yo, pick and roll coverage and Steph Curry is the ball handler, is like, what decision do you make? Is like, do you jump out, like, do you hard hedge, or do you ice, or do you, like, you have to figure out what you're actually doing, and I feel like he's not, I just don't feel like he's adept at that yet. It's just like, that's an experience thing, and getting to, like, talk more with the coaches, and Dwayne Casey's a defensive coach, so, like, just being there and actually being... And being part of the being part of practice, and him like describing what he needs him to do, I think that's just like something that Nogueira needs, and he's been like mired in the D League, so he's not really getting that experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's something he's got to talk about the players too, though. I mean, in the Cavs game, how many miscommunications did you see?
Oh my goodness! And the back screens—I mean, not even back screens, like just back doors—and just like
anything baseline cut was just albatross.
Iman Shumpert and a. He's just living off of those backdoor cuts, which is crazy, man.
And like Iman Shumpert. Take that in.
Oh, man. At least, you know, at least they have OVO, Drake Knight.
Hey, well, we learned that, too. We learned that Kevin Durant doesn't give a damn about no damn Drake Knight. Contract year for Driz.
Yeah, you know, the Raptors are... Oh, my gosh, it is a contract year. Tell me... See, I didn't know until you told me, like, this afternoon that Drake actually has a contract with the Raptors.
Yeah, it's his final year, you know, so they're going to need to trash talk, lint rollers, talk trash, fresh lint rollers, t-shirts, the whole nine yards. He's got a lure free agent here this offseason, you know.
What is it?
Earn his keep now.
What is it even, like, what does that contract even mean right now?
I don't know. I really don't know what it means either.
Like, I don't think there's much been, like, described about it, like, him being the global ambassador is, like, his thing, but it's kind of like Barney Stinson in How I Met Your Mother is, like, what do you actually do, though?
Hey, don't be knocking Barney.
Right, and then he's just like, please. And he just, like, walks away and changes the conversation. Like,
like we know Barney wheels chicks. That's what we know Barney does.
But, like,
that's
what
his job.
What exactly does
Driz? I don't know what Driz's job is.
What does he do? Like, his profile of just being associated with the Raptors, I think, was, like, a culture thing. But at this point...
It's like, to be legend... Wait for it. Dairy. That's Driz's job with the Raptors, is to be legendary in everything he does.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know how that's supposed to, like, reflect on the team. Maybe enhance Raptors culture?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it was... I remember when he first showed up in the first couple of years when he was, like, the ambassador, and, like, it was just cool to be around him, and, like, DeMar DeRozan and Terrence Ross were all, like, it's so cool to have, you know, Drake around and just, like, talk to him and all that stuff. Now it's just, like, Drake, he's kind of, like... the Spike Lee that doesn't show for the Raptors, but he doesn't show up as frequently. Like, I don't know. Do you think his contract is getting renewed?
I don't know. Okay, because I'll ask you this. Is he a novelty, or is he somebody that still has that star power that can be sustainable?
He still has, like, Drake is still Drake, but, like, how, like, his...
If you're a player, though, does that matter to you? Is it just, like, whatever, it's a novelty, it's Drake? Or is it something that, like, you'd be like, you know, it's pretty cool. Like, I wouldn't mind, like, you know, associating with Drake and OVO and the Raptors and the Six and all this stuff that we've kind of created to be this, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just kind of been like this Toronto sports culture that's been intertwined with Drake now.
I think it's great if you're going to recruit people and just have, like, Drake. Imagine if Drake is in the room. Imagine if you're going to your job interview and, like, Drake just shows up in the room and he's just, like, chilling there, listening to your job interview.
So that still matters.
Yeah, I think so. I would think
that
so.
Still matters, and I think you got to re-sign him.
Right.
I can't believe we're talking about Drake's contract. We're serious about whether we should re-sign him or not.
But he is part of the team, right? And, like, you know, free agency is a large part of the NBA.
Hey, and, like, Masai, we trust.
And Masai was, like, Masai and Dwayne Casey were, like, really into signing him to be part of the franchise, so... This is relevant, you know, even though it's...
Hey, you know what? I think we should give Drake a 1-1. Everybody's taking them, you know? If it doesn't work with the team option, we'll opt out. Just give Drake a 1-1.
Oh, man. But yeah.
Did he fit the luxury tax?
Oh, I don't even think he's on the... Is he on the payroll? He's actually part of the team, because, like, if he says something about recruiting somebody to the team, he gets fined for that. Like, the team gets fined. Yeah, the team gets fined, so...
Which he we saw at OVO Fest.
He has an official post. I don't know what to make of it yet, man. Somebody needs. Maybe I'm gonna do some. I'm gonna do some digging about that, but
I'm gonna do some digging too. But I think they do. All joking aside, I think re-signing him, if he's still considered valuable amongst players, it's an easy decision. Bring him back.
Yeah, and he's probably there for, you know, an undisclosed amount, and he's probably not doing it for much. He's probably just doing it for, like,
courtside seats.
Courtside seats, I'm part of the team, let's do this.
Have some shirt night, you know, give away, make him look nice.
Yeah, it's like it's more of a partnership than anything, and I feel like, oh, you know what? He's probably going to re-sign. No. He's not going to re-sign with the team, but he's going to sponsor the team. Like, he's going to be one of the people that, you know how the jerseys are getting ads now?
Yeah, you're all about this. You're all over this. Since this idea came out, you're literally all about OVO getting on these uniforms.
OVO needs to get on these uniforms. This is like, Drake, hit me up, bro. I have the ideas, bro. But no,
well, they have their own custom set, right? Like, they have an alternate jersey that's specifically made for OVO.
Exactly. So putting the owl on it wouldn't be that far of a stretch. I don't know if Drake has the cash to actually get into that, but I don't think that the Raptors, like, sponsorship is going to cost as much as, like, the Warriors or the Cavs or something. Maybe the Cavs probably wouldn't even cost that much. But, like, the Warriors or the Lakers is probably going to cost a ton of money. I have a feeling the Raptors won't cost as much. Probably be, like, middle of the pack.
I don't know. I'm curious to see when that comes out. That's something you should definitely, like, tweet at Darren Rovell or somebody and get them to see if they can give you an answer. Probably would. I mean, that guy responds to all that stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Because I'm curious now. Yeah, we've completely gone off track. We're bringing back Drake.
Yeah, they should bring back Drake. When the Raptors are playing the Warriors, right? Do you think they should do more, like, they should use Pascal at 5 more?
I think so. I mean, this is something we mentioned earlier. They have to play smaller. Against these teams, like, either they're going to risk having JV out there as a liability on the defensive end to try and slow the game down. Because if that doesn't work, you look at last night's game where if the Warriors hit even half of the threes they missed, it's a blowout. We're talking like 20 to 30 point blowout.
Mm-hmm. That means that they would have scored like 150 points, by the way.
Yeah, probably like a buck 40. I could easily see him dropping a buck 40 last night. Easy. Come on. Klay Thompson was 3 of 11 from 3. Mm-hmm. Like, and they were wide open looks, a lot of them.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not going to happen every night. And partially that was in the first half when they had JV out there. I think you kind of have to play Siakam at the 5 just because his ability to switch, right? Like, he can switch on to Durant. He can switch on to Draymond Green. He can do so many different things that provides just so much versatility for the Raptors. How could you not have him out there, right?
Okay. I'm happy that you've boarded the train.
Well, shit, man. You bought all the damn stock, so. The least I can do is hop on the train.
Board the train, Siakam at the 5. I have written about it. It should be done.
Better be careful. The Raptors faithful is going to come at you with Bebe talk.
Oh my goodness! You know,
it's not going away.
Yeah, I like.
It's going to get more ferocious. They wrote a damn article after he had one good game. They wrote how he replaced Biombo. That's all it took. No, okay? It's a fickle bunch here.
He is not replacing Biombo, my friends.
No,
the Raptors were a top 10 defense last year, and they're 15th right now. And it doesn't look. They're just missing his presence all around, man. Just like his ability to cover ground and block shots at the rim. The Raptors don't have a player like that right now. And like Bebe's instincts aren't enough to paper that over. And plus, Biombo used to be able to switch out on defenders, and the Raptors don't have a center that can do that anymore.
Pascal.
Yeah, except for Pascal at center.
Kid. To play devil's advocate a bit, though, I mean, they've only had 4 losses, 2 to the Cavs, 1 to the Warriors, and 1 inexplainable 1 to the Kings. But 3 of those 4 losses are, I hate saying this, they're good losses. If that makes sense. Like, they didn't get blown out.
Moral victories.
Moral victories, yeah. You know, things that Toronto sports fans have been loving for years now.
Oh, the subtle snipes of the Leafs.
Hey, you said it. You said that part. Subtle. I just applied it.
Sure.
But, like, maybe we're overreacting a bit, right? I mean, these two teams are the best of the best.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well,
still. Well, the Clippers are up there, too.
Yeah, these are the measuring sticks that you're going to need them, like, the Raptors actually perform against, though. Like, they need to play well here to see how good that they really are. Because if they continue to lose to, like, they could lost the Cavs for two games, and then they lost to the Warriors, and even though they're valiant, like, performances, like, losing those games is just, it's a damage to morale, but it's also, like, when you're playing in the playoffs, and we've already seen certain matchups, and we're realizing, like, the Raptors just cannot beat these teams, you know?
Yeah. Well, some things that people have said as well is DeRozan didn't get that many calls. I mean, The Warriors game, he shot 17 free throws. He got calls. The Cavs game, though, you could definitely make a case. Like, they flat out mugged him a lot of times when he drove to the rim, and they basically forced the refs to blow their whistle. And they didn't. They couldn't blow it on every play. Like, Richard Jefferson was hacking him at will. Like, they just played a physical game with him and JV, and it kind of paid off.
It's getting to the point where, like, it's like the Steph Curry syndrome, where pretty much every time Steph Curry was, like, playing in the playoffs, like, people were grabbing him. And that's a foul, for sure, to, like, grab his jersey and stuff and to, like, hold on to him. But they're doing it so frequently, like, if you don't call it when it's first happening, then you can't call it for the rest of the game, really. Like, you can't justify it. I mean, as a referee, technically, you could, if you really wanted to, you could just be like, yeah, that's a foul. Foul's a foul. But, yeah, when he's getting grabbed and stuff, then nobody's calling it, then he's just going to have to live with that. And that's starting to happen to DeMar DeRozan, like, where he's just starting to, like basically just, like, light teams up, and then people, like, grab him when he's on curls and stuff like that, and there's no way for him to like, score, and he won't draw the foul because the refs just won't blow the whistle.
Is there, like, a resolution to that? I don't think there is. And I think something interesting you brought up, too, off the air was about game speed. The NBA is clearly trying to speed that up this year.
Oh, yeah, especially in the first quarter. I mean, I'm going to put on the tinfoil hat. Okay. but in the first quarter of any, just not even the Raptors game, any game, you'll see that, like, you will see, like, players, like, bump into each other, and you'll be like, isn't that a foul? And you'll hear them scream, like, yeah. And they'll be like, hey, right? But then no foul is called. Like, especially if it's a shot attempt, right? And something that looks like a foul happens, and the ball goes up, and it misses. And this happened especially in the Raptors versus Warriors game, where Zaza Pachulia went up for a shot, and then he got fouled by JV. The ball was in the air, nobody blew a whistle, and then, like, he missed, and then they blew the whistle. So that late call is actually more of a reaction to, like, the league wants the games to be faster, so they tend to not call fouls in the first quarter. But if it's an obvious foul, they'll call it. But if it's, like, a 50-50, and, like, okay, if it goes in, then they're not going to call anything, but if it misses, then they'll call it. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. I mean, I think it's something that they said at the end of the season, too. They said playoff games are going, what, roughly 3 hours and change?
Yeah.
A good chunk of them. And they said they wanted to be shorter.
Yeah, they want to bring them down to 2 hours. Like, all basketball.
That's not going to happen. 2 hours? That's, like, college basketball-like.
Yeah, so though you can't change the times, because they can't change it, the game time from 12 minutes per quarter to 10 minutes, because then it would mess up a lot of historical statistics. So they're just like, what if we just don't call as many fouls? And, like, you know, it reduces the time, because it takes a little bit, you know, everybody to line up, and then we're going to give the ball, you bounce it, you know, put on your routine, and then you shoot it, and then you get the ball back, and you do the same thing again. So it takes, you know, seconds, but just like in baseball, you know, a couple seconds at the mound every time adds up to minutes, well, and then it can add into
baseball,
an hour.
I mean, they force guys to get back in the box, right? They want to shorten that time down between pitches. Imagine if the NBA, if the officials shortened down the time between free throws. Like, hey, enough of that crap, shoot that. Like, the whole, like, Gilbert Arenas behind the back that, you know, Ronnie Hollis Jefferson does.
Right, or just, Chuck Hayes.
Just like, yeah, the number of dribbles, like, I would die. There'd be a fight for sure. Could you imagine Joey Crawford telling somebody to hurry up and shoot their free throws?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he's, you know, rip Joey Crawford, man. He's retired.
Yeah.
That's great. I wonder what he's doing right now.
Right, betting on games?
Oh, wow.
Didn't hear that from me.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, man. There's been so many times where you're like, Joey, how much you got in those Heat games back in the big 3 days? Anytime Minnie had a big game, Joey was out there reffing the game.
Yeah, but he
put my tin hat on now.
Oh, this is a discussion for a different podcast. Or
I'll pull it up, man. Tony Brothers is still betting on games. Book it.
Oh, my goodness. There's too soon. Oh, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get into that another time.
But yeah, they just don't call as many fouls in the first quarter. And that hurts DeMar DeRozan because he does a lot of drives to the rim, right? You get fouled on your drives to the rim. And during the first quarter, he's getting fouled, even though he's scoring a lot from mid-range, and he's actually one of the league leaders in first quarter scoring.
That has to regress, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, J.J. Redick has been doing it for years now.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it off pretty much the same thing. It's like three-pointers and those mid-range curls, like those jump shots off of Blake Griffin screen. So, we'll see. I don't think it will regress. I think it actually could... He can maintain that, just like his scoring in the first quarter. Yeah, he scores like, what, 10, 11, 12, 10 to 12 points per first quarter. I think that
he's been a fast starter, like extremely fast this year.
Yeah, like they'll give the ball to JV for like the first couple of possessions, and then he gets it for like five in a row.
Kobe DeBryant, baby. Full out to Kobe DeBryant mode.
So yeah, I think that can stay still. I think he could be the league leader in first quarter scoring. That is hard to say multiple times, by the way.
I'm actually going to look into that this weekend.
Yeah, he's
like gonna... I want to see like in previous years what it was and stuff for him.
He's been playing well, and then he's just like those fouls are not getting called in the first quarter. I'm sorry, man. It's just not, the league doesn't want to call him, and it's not a Canadian conspiracy. It's
all these Raptors. Yeah, please stop saying that stuff. I hate every game, any big Raptors game on Twitter. Holy hell, NBA hates Canada. That's where getting screwed again. Shut up.
These refs, they never call the fouls. They always call.
Had enough of that. There was calls both against both teams in the Cleveland and Golden State game.
And the Cleveland game was one that was, like, suspect, dude. That's when everybody was, like, really, really, really piping up. And they're like, huh?
Well, they got to understand, like, LeBron is always... Any team LeBron's on is always going to get suspect calls. It's just the way it works. His whole, like, crying to the officials that he does every game, it's also he's kind of working the officials too, right?
So. Yeah, he does it. And I think it's just because he wins that he doesn't get the same rap. But like him and CP3 like do that all the time, where they'll just constantly.
Nah, Chris Paul legit cries. No, <he's... laughs> I love CP, man, but he cries.
LeBron, like he'll always be like talking to the ref, and I feel like it's just like he does it in a different cadence, where it's just you know, he's like, hey man, he's doing this, or he's like, then you'll see him like free throws. He's just like standing with his hands on his hips, talking to the ref. Where Chris Paul is just like barking all the time for something, anything.
Yeah, he's balling his eyes up for something. But you know who's like starting to do that a lot now too on the Raptors is Kyle Lowry. He works the officials a lot. I know that you can't always see it on the camera, but he's always talking with the officials. Casey's pestering them. He's been barking at them a lot this year, but Kyle Lowry's been talking to him quite a bit.
That can be an issue. On that role. That can be an issue going forward, man, because the Clippers definitely get less calls because of how often that they talk to the officials or complain to the officials.
And oh, yeah. Well, they've all those polls they've done, right, between players and, like, executives and officials, the Clippers always come out on top as the whiniest team in the league.
Right. So if the Raptors, you know, gain a reputation like that, that's definitely going to hurt Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Because they draw so many fouls, especially DeMar DeRozan, who's drawing 10 fouls a game.
Yeah, I think we're far away from that point, though.
Hey, I'm just saying, man, it's starting right now, and I'm going to recognize it right now. Because Lowry already has a couple technical fouls, man.
Yeah, but give me your five biggest whiners in the league right now. I could rip off, like, 10 if you want. I'll give you, like, five right away, man.
Chris Paul, number one, and then it's probably, like, Blake Griffin.
Yep.
And then... probably LeBron, DeMarcus Cousins.
James Harden.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he just draws a lot of fouls. I don't think he talks to the ref that much, though.
Well, he sulks a lot, too, though. I mean, okay, I should rephrase that. James Harden just sulks and gets blown by.
Yeah, that's just him. Like, his terrible defense is like representative of how...
He doesn't play defense. Yeah. It's optional.
He just hates, you know, if he gets fouled or if he falls or something, he believes he gets fouled, he's like, yeah, I'm just not going to play defense this turn.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess Boogie's up there, too, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at all the goals. So I don't think, like, DeRozan or Lowry would be two players anybody would ever consider to fit up there as whiners. Okay. Mind you, we don't hear the chatter on the court, but I don't think they're as high as we're making it out to seem.
All right.
Maybe they're approaching it, though. Yes, I mean, the last couple of games, right?
Definitely. And it's definitely, it's Lowry. Like, Lowry's seriously, I feel like it's because Lowry's regressing a little bit. And I feel like he, you know.
Oh, you think he's pressing?
Yeah, he's regressing, and then he's just like, man, I at least get in the foul calls so he can, like, feel like he's contributing to the team. He's contributing to the team, of course, but, like, you know, if you feel like you're down a little bit, you just want to get every little advantage possible, and I feel like that's what he's trying to do right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see him trying to do that. Anything else we got to cover here with these two games?
No. I mean, just more Siakam at the five, less JV. Even though Raptors fans don't get that, you got to less JV. And especially...
Yeah, I think,
pardon?
No, I said I think on this five-game road trip, they'd be wise to try some different lineups.
Yeah, I mean, if DeMar Carroll, who knows how frequently he plays. Man, I wish they would just rest him. But, yeah, they can be able to experiment. Plus, they play the Nuggets, and then they play the Nuggets, then the Kings, and then the Clippers. And then Houston and Milwaukee. So, you're going to probably see, I mean, you'll get at least some JV, you know, in Milwaukee and against the Kings. Maybe even during the Nuggets, but there's probably going to be some fluctuations because Jokic and Jokic are not playing well together. So, they're probably going to be splitting them up. I don't know.
Yeah, they look kind of lost on defense too, Jokic and Nurkic.
Yeah, it's yeah. And plus the team is like getting riddled. It's like kind of riddled with injuries right now. So
we'll give see. Us Gallo. Gallinari would be the perfect fit on this team.
Yeah, but who are you gonna do? Who are you gonna trade?
Bruno.
Oh my god!
I'm making one of those 2K trades.
Oh, if you could just plug in whoever you want, as long as the salary matches.
Yep. He's only one match with Gallo's because it's so big, even though it's on the final year.
Even if they were to make a trade for Gallo, and this is not a report, guys, this is not a report. But if they were
not yet,
or a rumor, but if they were going to make a trade for Gallo, like there's still a problem with the small forward position. They just don't have anybody to guard those LeBrons or those Kevin Durants because they're few and far between. Paul George, maybe. I remember I talked to you.
Sigh.
I think this was on podcast number 2 where I was
like podcast attempt number 2
where I'm like, man, Paul George would be like a perfect player for this team.
He would be. Paul George would literally put the Raptors over the top. Would you do Paul George for DeMar DeRozan straight up?
Absolutely. Like without a doubt, you don't even have to talk to me cuz then we can play cuz then you can actually play like Norman Powell at a shooting guard and he's already like a great defender plus he's a shooter. Plus, he's got the transitional, you know, offense.
Yeah, I don't think Indiana would do that trade, though.
No, never in their life. Are you?
Well, throw in Bruno. I mean, he's 2 years away from me, 2 years away.
No, he's only 2 years away now.
That's right. Sorry, he's just about there now.
Yeah, and plus, he's a small forward. He's going to be the next Kevin Durant. That's like a long-term
investment. Durant. Well, what could go wrong?
Long-term investment, my friend.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, how many... You know, we're still looking good. We're looking good on two of our over-unders right now. The over-under are under on Drake.
Drake Knight. Drake appearances.
We're under on that. He's only had one. One in the first, 10 games?
Yeah, so he's good. Not exceeding that. I'll be shocked. That means Drake is literally in town and going to every Raptors game for, like, nights, consecutive nights.
But he's got to show it, man. It's a contract year.
It is a contract year, so that's a big thing. Does he have the clutch gene?
Oh.
Driz at the clutch gene? At least I love on first take when they bring that up. He's just not clutch. Like, what is that? What does that even mean?
So there's that, and then our under on Bruno Caboclo, 1 point per game.
Yeah, it's under. Cash that.
Like, your confidence in it is, like, astounding, to be honest. Like, you're just...
I can't wait to watch him play the 905. I have no animosity towards him. I just don't think... I don't think he's making it, man. Like, I don't think he's going to be somebody that we're going to see on the Raptors as a difference maker or all of a sudden out of nowhere play valuable minutes. With that in mind, he's not averaging more than 1 point.
More than one? Just 1 point? Bruno. I know I took the
he's
under.
He's yet to do it.
I took the under, but I'm rooting for you, fam.
Hold on. You can't be doing that. Taking the under and then saying you're rooting for him.
Yeah, this is
take
like...
Take the over, then. Take the over. Don't be shy.
That's just like... you know, you bet against your team because you know the other team is better, but you just want, but you still want your team to win.
Come on, Pete Rose, don't be doing that.
Wait,
I'll tell you what, if he averages over 1 point, I will buy his jersey.
Oh, sweet. Okay, we got a
dead serious. You hold me to it.
You hear that golf clap in the background? I'm
golf
happy.
Clap. Yeah, the golf clap. You just putted for like bogey. You're gonna average like 0.8, and you're gonna be pissed. You're like, come on, I'm so close.
I'm like, oh, we got a round. We got a round up. That's a round up.
I think on that note, we'll get out of here then.
Oh yeah.
As I'm always, holding, guys, if you like what you're hearing, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tip of the Tower. You can follow me on Twitter at Crystal Kranitz. You can follow Damar on Twitter at Damar J. Grant. And be sure to follow us on SoundCloud and iTunes. If you like what you're hearing, leave us a review, a rating. We appreciate all the comments, anything you guys leave us in terms of feedback. Even reach out to us on Twitter or email when the games are going on. We always love to talk with fans. We'll be back on the weekend to talk about the NBA and probably some more Raptor stuff. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. We're always talking about that. So until then, enjoy the game in Denver, guys, and we'll see you on the weekend.
We finally got the podcast to work. We're going to be back. Fine. We're going to be back.
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it yet.
Soon.
We're low-key back. Low-key, low-key. That's what the kids like to say, right?
Yeah. It's lit.
It's lit, yeah. It's lit. We're back.
Stay woke.
Take care.